Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Everything about this moment in history seems uniquely designed to challenge our mental health. We are suffering, we need answers, and we need help. That's why I'm so thrilled to be partnering with Sound Mind Live and Consequence of Sound to host their new podcast series, Going There. I'm Dr. Mike Friedman, clinical psychologist and life coach. With Going There, I will talk with musicians who struggle with their mental health, just like us. After all, mental illness affects us all. And the same artists who have stepped up to share their wonderful work with us are now sharing the intimate details of their journey in living with mental illness. We are going to ask the tough questions, and we're going to have the difficult conversations, all so that we can learn from each other. But more importantly, to shine a light on the difficult topic of mental illness so that we can all come out of the darkness and get the care we need. So we hope you join us on this journey. Going There. The crossroads where music and mental health meet.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much for checking us out, making your way here. Do hope you like what you see here enough to hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. Brand new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, know what's happening in the music world. Of course, you can find us at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, YouTube, or the video version of this interview. Exists or wherever you like to get your podcast from. Today, my guest, the group 303, going to be talking with Sean and Nate about their new record called Need. It's a record that finds them in a return to form moment as they look back on their breakthrough album Once. They're going to explain how this new set speaks to their earlier songs while progressing in sound, meeting fan expectations, also writing a sad anthem against the abundance of pop anthems that exists out there. We get that in one of the first singles. We're also going to get into maturing. They talk about middle age in some of these new tracks, how that finds its way into the music. And if you've seen the music videos, they're kind of hitting back again on those early days. And just in time, too, for the OO's resurgence that's starting to pop up following that 90s thing that we've been in for the past few years. They're also going to give us a teaser of what to expect from the rest of the album. That includes special guests and the upcoming 303 Day. So let's get into it. It's Kyle Meredith with 303.
They're back in black!
Guess who's back? Back again.
We're so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having us, man. It's a pleasure and an honor and a privilege.
That was pretty good impersonation. Your voice, you could get up there for that.
What?
Oh, I can't even do it without...
What's his name? Yeah, the Brian.
I think there's a... I feel
back
like
in black!
Challenge to see how much of this interview is going to be done in song today. I'm along for the ride. I am. So it's
hey, you know, that's kind of how our whole process, man. So you might be along for the ride for writing a new 303 song. Who knows?
That's it. I'm it. That's I'll expect the royalties.
Hey, now we're getting old.
wait. Word for a third, right? That's all I got to get. That's all I got to get.
Room splits. Zoom splits. What are Zoom splits?
Just the vibe guy.
Zoom probably gets part of it too.
Yeah, Zoom gets 10%.
That's it. No, it's so exciting to have you all back. You know, I know it's not been forever. I think it's pitched like, oh, the great comeback. It's only been like a handful of years here. But I guess that wasn't completely like always in the cards. So maybe we'll start a little bit back. Like, what has the last few years been like? What have you guys been doing that's kind of led up to this point?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with us, and as you sort of put it eloquently, it's like we were playing shows and playing college shows. We played for the U.S. Navy and military bases, and even just we've toured as well. But it's funny because we've had a couple, like we've had albums in between Streets of Gold. It was like Want, Streets of Gold were sort of like our biggest albums. And then we had Omens and Night Sports was our last album that came out. And we would have like a new song that we might even go and play live. And, you know, we'd even play the song and then we'd get off stage and a fan would be like, so when are you putting out new music?
Or so like, wait, you guys are still alive? Yeah. You're dead, man.
Oh, man. And like, so I think that you're right. Like, it is sort of like coming back, but it's also like we've been around. But it's nice to have that feeling where like this seems to be striking a chord. The new songs seem to be hitting in a way that we might not have been able to get with some of the past releases. And it just feels like a return to form in more ways than one. We actually partnered with our original label mates, Photo Finish Records. That was who we put out Want with. And so it feels we have that same team and same sort of creative spirit. And
it's been nice to get the time to work on our own project too. I think, you know, you asked what we've been doing the last couple of years. It's been a lot of writing and producing for other artists as well as that touring that Sean mentioned. And I think that, you know, if anything, this time off of the road, kind of the enforced time off the road has allowed us to come back and work on our music, which has kind of been the blessing and the curse of this, you know, past pandemic time, at least for us, is just providing us with a time to reflect on why we're doing what we're doing in terms of our music as 303, and to come back and circle back and really find that, feel comfortable in finding that kind of mantra again and creating new music.
The writing and producing, it looks like it's been a lucrative part of your careers and everything, and I'm sure that does have its own creativity, but do you feel maybe, as you're alluding to right here, like do you feel during that that's not working every muscle, right? Is there something missing with that?
I mean, I think the balance of them both, at least in my experience, is so beautiful, because you know, writing for other projects, or you know, even pop artists or hip-hop projects, or you know, even kind of music for film or television or video games, it's much more speculative in its nature, I've found, than working on your own stuff. You're kind of writing a lot to release a fraction of what you write, and whereas, you know, with our own artistry, there's so much more of a tangent between writing what we want to write and releasing what we want to release. So I mean, those things, they each come with their own kind of frustrations and difficulties, but they also each kind of counterbalance themselves perfectly in terms of being creatively fulfilled, I find.
You kind of alluded to this a minute ago about, you know, heading back to the same team that you all had with Once. From what I understand, the way you guys have been talking about this, that's not the only connection, though. I mean, there's something about this new record with Need that sort of, I mean, not even just the titles. I mean, Once and Need, obviously, they speak to each other. But how much of this new record is speaking to your past?
It's just really the titles. We just really wanted to connect those two. We really had to hammer people over the head to be like, it's fully connected. Yeah, I think honestly, it's the spirit of how it's made. I think, you know, I think in this business, and especially even just as artists and creatives, it's like, I think the battle is just continue to show up, like always showing up. You don't know what you're going to get in different environments. And obviously we've kind of had different scenarios when we've gone into different records. Like we Photo Finish moved off Atlantic when we were there, so we were kind of positioned with a new team, and there was like different expectations on ourselves. And that was when we were jumping into songwriting, so we were a little melted by that process, and like there was just a lot. And I think with this, we just feel a lot more comfortable with where we are as songwriters, producers, and then also just like having fun in the studio and not overthinking things, realizing that sometimes our first decision is the best one, and not to like just sort of tear down the original idea and just sort of make music to make music. And that's where we've come to, I think. And it just feels good. It feels good again. And having that team is very important too. I think that's an undervalued part of the process, is because like Nat and I could be in a basement creating, but sometimes you need that creative sort of echo chamber with friends and family that you feel comfortable with, and not just sort of like on your own or with someone who has an expectation of trying to, you know, just get money or stuff like that. They see the whole picture. So that's why I think it feels sort of akin to when we started, although at that point we knew nothing like about, we didn't even know, like we were talking about this, like Nat didn't know what a single was. He thought it was like a cheaper record.
Just a cheap, if you didn't want to buy the full record, you would just buy the single.
So it's a little different. We probably know too much now.
We call that blissfully ignorant.
Yeah.
It's a good spot though. I mean, you like, I think young artists, you have to be blissfully ignorant if you're going to do, you know, some of those creative things that you might be afraid of later on. Like I think about, you know, artists who are younger vocally, you'll take some chances that we, you know, you don't think about, will I be able to do that when I'm 50? You know, or stuff like that.
Well, that's it. Yeah. You hear like, I mean, even we find that like, we'll go back and sing like our old songs and I'm like, can we like drop the key, or can I sing this? Like, why was I trying to sing so high? But you know, again, it's, you're not thinking about those things. You're not thinking the sustainability of a whole tour of what it would mean to sing that pitch every time, you know, you're just like, rock and roll, baby.
Just want to dance. Maybe that's why AC/DC, like that, the dude, homie. The
you Brian think he ever, is, ever nah, regrets singing that?
No, nah, he loves it every night. Every night, it's a party.
I know I'm not the first one to ask this, but I'll go into the more serious territory for a second, because I think that also speaks to some of your older songs. You know, they're fun songs, but you have a song like "Don't Trust Me," you know, huge hits. But I'm guessing, I mean, is that something that you would write now? Like, do you have to kind of meet in the middle with your younger selves for a song like that?
Yeah, I think you know, as an artist, you always progress, and you wouldn't do anything the same as you did in the past. And, you know, you kind of keep rocking. I think what we're excited about is on this record, just kind of overtly coming back to some of those old styles that we used to play with. And that was, you know, music that was really, like Sean said, it wasn't second guessed at all, and sonically it was, you know, it's a little rougher around the edges and stuff. And I think that kind of combining that with the craft of songwriting that we feel like we've learned so much from, because working with other artists and other songwriters, other producers, you really kind of are always absorbing, you know, savvy and know-how and different ways of doing something and different ways of creative expression, really. And so I think we're really excited to kind of mesh both those worlds and kind of showcase what we've learned, and also kind of do due diligence to the OG thing that we think of as 303, and why, like, kind of our raison d'être. And that's like, just
what was that?
Raison d'être. our mantra.
Bless you.
There you are. No, but I think, and that's really just to make music to bring people in and to be inclusive with our you know, our videos, our live shows, our recorded music. It's all about rocking a party and bringing people in and making them included, whether that's putting a smile on their face or making them dance or making them laugh or making them cry, how bad our music is. But no, I think it's, you know, it's, we're looking forward to progressively releasing that music. And so far the reception has been awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting, because that was another thing. Like, I think 303, there are some expectations musically of lyrically, even, you know, from the songs in the past, like you expect sort of some dirty jokes and some cuss words. And like, do you find that, you know, when you're writing though, that you lean into those expectations at all? Do you, you're like, you know what, we had, or does that, I don't know, does that come naturally? Is that just who you are?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good question. I think there have been times, like I said, where it's been like, we've sort of been in our heads about expectations and what someone might think 303 is supposed to be, or what it, I think now though, it's like, you know, we've progressed a lot in terms of the scene, music scene, the world, everything. Everything's progressed in a different way since 11 years ago, and we have too, as artists and as people. And I think our spirit of making our songs remains the same, which is like Nat said, which is inclusive and fun and on the edge, but it's where we are now. And it's what, you know, like our songs Lonely Machines and I'm So Sad, I think show that, because it's exactly where we want to be right now with our style and whatever people might say are like our lyrics or our sense of humor. And I think it's layers of a lot of that, but those songs are just good representations of where we want to be and what we're doing and pushing right now. So yeah, we're happy to be at the spot we are creatively, I think.
Push further into that then, like what are the things that you're wanting to say this time around, or one of the things that you did end up saying around this time around?
I think a lot of that comes like, it's like 50-50 hindsight. Like you see, you're like, oh, that I gleaned that out of it. Like when we're in the process, a lot of times, like we said, like it's not about too much overthinking. I think Lonely Machines is a really good example of that. That's why it feels like really akin to how we did early songs, where it was just like part by part. And it wasn't necessarily like, honestly, I think Nat gave me a microphone as he was creating that beat in the studio. And I was just like literally making the lyrics up like on the cuff, like saying, like,
there's a section of that song where Sean's at the outro is Sean is screaming. And I remember, I think we kind of, this stays between us, obviously, but I think that
listeners turn, yeah, please listeners, turn down please the volume turn real fast. This
we had to up. Like transcribe the lyrics
backwards.
Yeah. Backwards. Like try to figure out what he was screaming about. And
that's the take actually that's on the song, is the one that I just literally screamed, just like, you know, like primally, just like yelling these lyrics. And then we had to listen. I was like, I don't know really what I said. And then we like unpacked it and we're like, oh, that's very interesting.
I think, you know, a song like I'm So Sad that we just put out, I think I think it's trying to figure out what we do and why we do it. And I think that song, you know, is addressing something that's serious and heavy, in a way that is trying to be fun and a bit tongue-in-cheek about it, about these issues that, you know, hopefully allow people to either have fun with the song and or, you know, draw something in terms of their own lives and their own experiences that they've had with being sad. And I think that, you know, for us, it's about that collective stuff. And it's about being very serious about our music and creating our music, and also really never being afraid about having fun during that process. And to us, those things don't operate on different playing fields, really. To us, we're, you know, we feel comfortable walking that line and for lack of a better word, like playing with our art, even if we're very serious about the art.
That song right there with I'm So Sad, I mean, do I understand it right? That sort of leans into the like Boys Don't Cry lineage of songs.
I think at the moment, again, that was another sort of like guttural just yell into the microphone as Nat was playing that riff, and we were working with our friend and producer, songwriter Benny Blanco. We were just at his house and Nat was just playing this riff. And I was like, you know what? There's so many songs I feel like I feel sad or don't even overtly say it. Like I think of like Elliot Smith or just like, you know, like just sad songs, melodramatic minor key songs. I'm just like, you know, it is sort of that feeling where it's like, it's okay to not be okay and not to really fight these feelings. But at the same time, sometimes it just feels good to announce it and not fight it, you know? And we even have that lyric in the song, like, it's not so bad if I don't try to fight it back. And it's true. And it's also, you know, it can be kind of funny. And I think it can also be kind of like we said, like party sad. Like we have, how many songs do we have that are like, Nat and I were in that sphere of like songwriting when it was just like Pitbull and Flo Rida that was like, I feel so good tonight, right, is going to be the
hands
best. And you were
in
the studio and you were just like, but I don't really feel that way today. Why am I trying to say that? So that's sort of the aim, I think, if I'm putting it down into like what we're trying to do lyrically with that. But
yeah, you flipped the inspirational anthem, because I agree, there was everything was fireworks for the longest time, everything was whoa, oh, oh, and this sort of does take, because it's still an anthem, you there's still a big joyous moment, but it really does kind of flip that. It's a
and I think recently there have been a lot of, you know, in the pop sphere, I guess there have been a lot of songs that are kind of reveling in that sadness, and there, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, like you know, Sean said one of our favorite artists is Elliot Smith, and it's like, that's, there's nothing more beautiful than some of his songs that are really reveling in that sadness. But I think we also were interested in the idea of spinning that the different way, like Sean said, partying sad, or or finding a way to beat that sadness with a sense of humor and approach it differently and walk those lines, I guess.
I mean, it has been a lonely year. It's been the loneliest year, you know.
To put it lightly. I spent like 2 weeks doing a claymation for one of our videos just by myself, like literally befriending my clay armatures. So yes, I know how lonely it can be.
Well, it's a perfect time because that's, you know, when we're sad, it's not like, when I'm sad, like most people, I don't listen to happy music when I'm sad. I want to hear sad music when I'm sad. When I'm lonely, I guess I want to hear lonely music. I mean, unfortunately, it couldn't be a better time song in that way.
Yeah, I want to hear sad music when I'm happy too. And then the sad music makes me sad. So I don't know what that says about the modern condition.
God, when I got the Spotify year-end report, I'm like, if this isn't like just a cry for help, the songs that are down, they're all just incredibly sad. But yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the conversation is especially geared, you know, towards mental health, and it's open to conversation. I mean, I know among my friends and even fans, and again, it's not self-indulging, although I'm sure that it could be taken that way. But I just think, again, it's just a balance there. Like, how many songs can we have in the world that are about, it's almost like the Instagram sort of like facade of like people always having the best life and like showing their best selves. Like, I think the pop music has been that way for a long time too. And it's like, let's be realistic. Like, how many times have you been out at a bar and you still feel really lonely or sad? And it's like, how about an anthem for the sad?
I haven't been to a bar in like a year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, please don't be at a bar now, but
can we dissect one of the lines in this too, one of the songs with the I'm a middle-aged cliche, because how much of that was just you know, spewing that out words just, out there.
Yeah, I mean, we're both like under 25, so that was more like
that was
just
more
trying
like
to
situational writing. No, I mean, I think it's a sense of, you know, we've always tried to carry ourselves with a sense of not too much of an ego
and self-deprecation.
Yes, and especially self-deprecating sense of humor for our operation and ourselves individually, I think, in our lives. And you know, we're getting closer to that middle age than we are the teens, for sure. And I think that it's kind of funny to talk about yourself as a middle-aged cliche.
Yeah, I mean,
and there's a line in the songs that's like, we should probably have some kids by now. Yeah, I mean, judging by our parents that generation, we should for sure have kids by now, you know.
Yeah, you can try and avoid it all you want as you get older to be like, I'm still gonna be the coolest guy. I'm literally wearing Crocs right now.
Crocs and socks, right?
That's Crocs and socks. So you just kind of, it just becomes you, you know, like the you just the dad style.
Yeah, we're not dads, but we lean into the dad style now.
Yeah,
that's that middle-aged cliche.
Dad strong over here, so I can appreciate
yeah, there you
that
go.
There you go.
Quite a bit. Relate to that. But like, I'd wondered also that, like, being a band who brings the good times, being a band who brings the party, I mean, I'd wondered, like, there's a part of that that's sort of the forethought of aging gracefully as an artist. Like, how do you do it? I mean, people try to, Mick Jagger's probably still trying to figure out how to do that, you know. Sure. It's like, how much of that kind of goes into it?
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there again, I think it's like, you know, you evolve as an artist. Like, I guess maybe we're not going to talk about some of the things that we talked about in terms of the way in which we partied, like whether it's like, you know, going to clubs. We don't really go to clubs anymore. And even back in the day, we had a song called F the Club. So
I belong to the Chess Club when it's open in Pasadena, but that's it. Yeah.
No, but I think, you know, you just evolve. And I think, as we mentioned earlier, we don't have too much of an ego, and we're feel comfortable leaning into whatever we become as people and however that reflects in our music. And I think the guiding light for us is kind of feeling like we're satisfied with what we're creating and feeling like our closest friends and family are stoked on it. And then from that, you know, hoping it extrapolates to a bigger audience and they enjoy it too. And I think that, you know, if anything, if we can be honest and faithful with ourselves in terms of like, if we're having fun with it and if it's worthwhile, then that, I don't know, it's a big kind of overarching answer to a very complicated question, but I think that that's, you know, we're just trying to trust the gut and have some hubris and like just be honest.
Plus, we've gotten like a lot of work done on our faces, a lot of Botox, and we do a lot. I mean, honestly, TikTok is kind of like the true test of if you're aging gracefully, because it's like we're like, do we go on there and like do these dances that like the Sway House? Like I know way too much about TikTok actually to even talk about, but it's an interesting thing. We just want to stay genuine, like, to what, you know, we are. And it's no secret. I mean, like, I went fully gray on my hair like 4 years ago, probably from,
I thought you dye it. It's not a, you don't dye it.
I mean, it is hip. That's cool. Like, I actually see in LA, like, there's like 18-year-olds with their hair dyed gray. They're like, cool hair, dude. And I was like, this is what years of stress threw to you. It's like, you could do it too, kid. Just, yeah. So I don't know. Musician. I mean, it's, we all do it. We all age. Sure. So, I mean, we're happy to just even still be making music and playing shows. So that's enough for us when we can play shows.
Yeah. Right. It is fun. I mean, what you all do, you do continue to, you know, make the whole experience fun. I'm noticing the green screen behind you, and I'm just kind of remembering the video, of course, that we just saw too, because there's a, you know, we talk about the calling back the album with Want and Need and all that and looking back, but this is really a callback to another time. And I thought this makes sense because the 20-year period has come around. It seems like you're reaching back to the time. Like, we just went through the 90s resurgence. Are we ready now for the mid-2000s resurgence?
It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, especially to be a band that was, you know, kind of knowingly and unknowingly swept up in that scene, kind of the emo and Warped Tour scene, you know. And I think that a lot of those bands have seen a resurgence, and for us, it's amazing. For us, you know, it's, we've had the good fortune of be able to be touring kind of constantly the whole time, releasing music the whole time. And for us, it's just amazing because it's what we love to do. And you know, we're not going to stop doing it until a global pandemic doesn't allow us to. And then we're going to stop. No, we're just excited and delighted to be able to keep releasing music and to get back out on the road when it's safe and responsible to do so.
I just love, like we have fans that will, you know, comment on whatever, Instagram or whatever, and they'll be like, saw you when I was 12, Warped Tour. It was like, it was life changing to be out there, like, see you guys perform. I'm now a heart surgeon, and I'm like, what? How many years have passed? It doesn't seem like that long.
And
like,
what have we done with our lives? You're a heart surgeon. We're over here. Just,
I blast Want when I go in for surgery. I'm like, don't do that. That can't be good.
Well, you know, we're of course looking forward to the rest of the record. What else do we? I mean, more special guests? Are there more special guests a part of this?
Yeah, we're still wrapping up the record, still figuring out a couple kind of features that we're excited about. Where we'll be releasing some new music progressively throughout the year, leading up to the album Need coming out.
There's a feature on here that I don't think if we sat here for an hour that you could guess who it is, but it's
going to be dope.
We're really excited about it.
Yeah, we're excited. And, you know,
Dolly Parton is the only guest I'm going to have. So if it's not her, then, you know,
it's the Dolly Parton of a different genre.
It's not her, then you're going to get the single, not the full record. No, we're excited. And we're doing Cameo for charity. If people are interested in getting a Cameo stuff, we're raising money for the Sierra Club. We just got on this application called High Note. That's like kind of a personalized performance thing. And so in the meantime, you know, we're planning some, something special for 303 Day out here. March 3rd is kind of the Colorado.
And we got merch up. We got merch up at our website, 303.com, 303.com.
Because our old site became a porn site, apparently.
Yeah, don't go to 303 Music unless you want to. It's an adult-only site now. It has nothing to do with us. We
just
make
let the registration lapse, and apparently some.
You guys could have made so much more money had you actually just leaned into that one yourself. So
I know.
What do you think the green screen's for, man? Hey, well, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. Congrats on this new music and everything. It's really fun to hear from you.
We're so delighted, and thanks for your kind questions, and it's been a pleasure chatting with you.
All right, we'll see you around. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Again, the brand new album is called Need, with new singles I'm So Sad and Lonely Machines. Thanks to 303 for the conversation. Thanks to you for checking us out. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, YouTube, if you want to catch the video version of this one as well. And after you subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on social media spots, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all three of them at Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, tonight we're going live tonight. Gonna dance until the sunrise.
Hey,
what's up, Kyle? We're going live tonight. Kyle till the sunrise.
Don't you love when there's the era of music where everything descended?
Tonight. We're just two fun guys. We're going live tonight with Kyle. And he's just a fun guy. What's happening, dude?
Thanks for calling us back after, you know, the whole thing, you know?
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.